Amen. Well, good morning. I'm excited to be a part of what God is doing here at Return. And just some mighty things are happening. How awesome was it to see, was it nine people baptized this morning? Go down in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Congratulations to those that were baptized today. And I just feel great things are happening here at Return Church, just a mighty move of God. And I'm excited about it, and I'm excited about where God is taking us as a church, as a group, as a people, as His people. Amen. Can you just give God a big hand clap of praise this morning? We're going to go this morning to the book of Mark, chapter number 4, and read a few verses in verses 35 through 41, and then we'll read the first verse of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse number 35. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. On the same day when evening had come, he said unto them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And then in chapter 5 and in verse 1 it says, "And then they came to the other side of the sea." Then they came to the other side of the sea. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, and the subject is, I am crossing over. I'm crossing over. Does anybody need to cross over this morning? Dear Lord, as we enter into your word this morning, I ask God that you would challenge our hearts, challenge our lives, challenge our spirits, to let us walk in obedience of what you would have us to do and what you have called us to be as a group, as an individual. Let us feel your presence here this morning, and let us know that you are walking with us in this place today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Can we all say amen? I want to begin this morning by talking about seeds. In the known universe, every living thing that has come into existence from a past source, usually known as parents, and in this process of coming to life, it all once was a stage of being a seed. Be it a plant, be it an animal, be it a human being, or any existing form of life, it began as a seed. That's how it starts. More specifically, how life begins to start is with a little seed. A parent creates an egg, and that egg has a lifespan where it develops into an individual form of a reproduced being. Although we are resilient as humans, in order to thrive, we need a certain environment in which we live. Just as different seeds need different things, we as people need different things based on our personalities. But our success is heavily influenced by the environment in which we live. We become products of our environment. But the good thing is that in Christ this morning, I can go past the product of my environment and I can be everything that God has called me to be. We have learned also that soil in a living system, that means that soil is more than dirt. It is the interaction of microorganisms, nutrients, worms, water, and organic matter. We also know that many of the individual food processes include using fossil fuels as supplementary nutrients, and that as seeds are taken away from the form of food without any waste or organic material going back into the soil, and the natural cycle is broken. It is important that we view our environment in the same light. What do we do to reach our goals on an individual level? But we must also consider on a collective level. Certainly we need love and we need acceptance and we need education and we need food and we need water. But let me throw something out to us this morning that we need more than any other thing is that we need God. The one who created the seed process from the very beginning of time, if we remove God out of the process, then we have removed the most important thing of all. In Galatians 6 and 7, it said, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." In Paul's metaphor, we are all, every one of us, farmers. We scatter spiritual seeds across the fields of life. We scatter seeds of grace. We scatter seeds of love. We scatter seeds of joy. We scatter seeds of anger and hatred and self. And as sure as the sun rises, these seeds will bear fruit in its time of harvest. And what fruit they produce is determined by what kind of seeds that they are. A farmer will plant seeds in the ground. He will plant corn, and in the harvest time, he will go back and expect to reap the corn that he planted in the seed in the ground in the early time of the spring. And in the fall season, he will reap the abundance of that seed. You see, the harvest is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is the sowing. Our task is to sow the Spirit's seed. Every action, big, small, good or evil, is a seed, and all spiritual seeds will bear fruit, whether the sower anticipates it or not. And so, seeds to me are so amazing. I mean, you look at little seeds and how you plant a little seed into the ground and how that crop will begin to flourish over time. How that seed will endure the tremendous amounts of water, and how that seed can endure the dry ground and the dry seasons and the storms and the things that happen throughout the course of our lives. You look at conception and how conception, a little seed is given and a seed is birthed, and how that seed will grow over the next 9 months in the womb of that mother. And you can give a physical conception and look at it in the same way with spiritual conception. I want to talk to somebody this morning that needs a word from the Lord in your life. Maybe God planted a seed and he told you that you were going to see your children saved. Maybe he told you that your ministry was going to go to another level of influence and effectiveness. And maybe he told you that God was going to bless you and prosper you financially. But through this thing we call life, We hit many road bumps and we hit many detours and we kind of go on roller coasters and we go up and down. And sometimes we question the word or the seed that has been given to us in our life. You need to allow the seed to be planted and let it take harvest and develop in your life. Now the seed is birthed, but oftentimes we have to go through the delay period. And the delay period is a difficult situation. You look at David. David was told he was going to be the king, and he waited years and years to actually become the king. There was a delay period in his life. And we have to go through delays in our life. Is there somebody here this morning who knows that your word is being challenged? You see, between your word and the other side or the manifestation, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to have endurance. You're going to have perseverance. You're going to have commitment to Jesus. I came to tell somebody this morning that the devil has enough power to challenge your word, but he does not have enough power to change your word. The devil can challenge your word, but he cannot change the word that was given to you by God. Jesus said, "Let us go." You know what that means? Jesus is with us in his presence. He is with us. We are not alone as we walk through this thing called life. He said, "Let us go to the other side." He is with us. There's something about his presence that makes the difference. He doesn't promise us exemption from our problems, but he promises us divine presence as we walk through the problems in life. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you art with me." Moses was so dependent upon the presence of God that he said, "If your presence does not go with me, don't take me from this place." We need to be so dependent upon God that he is with us in everything that we do. You see, strength and honor are in God's presence. In Psalm 16 and 11, it said, "In his presence is the fullness of joy." In his presence is the fullness of joy. The Bible said that the joy of the Lord is my strength. If the joy of the Lord is my strength, how do I get the joy? I get the joy by getting into God's presence. Because there's not a lot of joy out here in the world. This world will bankrupt you of joy. In fact, the enemy has tried to steal your joy. And some of you, he may have taken your joy. But you need to bank on the fact that God wants to restore the joy of your life. You see, there are people who will start out with you and they'll say, "You can always count on me. I'll be there." But when things get bad, you look around and they're either gone or they become invisible. You ever notice that, you know, when you got money, you got friends, but a real friend is someone who will stick beside you no matter what is going on in your life. And there's a man this morning named Jesus that will stick closer beside you than anybody else in your life. Jesus said, "I'll be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother." He was there before you had anything. You look at your life before you ever knew Jesus. Maybe your life was in shambles. You didn't have a house to live in. You don't have a car to drive. God is with you no matter what you are going through in your life today. You just keep on treading and keep on propelling in the ways of God, and God will help to direct your life, and he will set your feet on a solid rock, and he will begin to develop your life in the pattern that he has destined your life to be. Somebody knows what I'm talking about this morning. Jesus promised us that no matter what comes against us in life, he will be with you through every storm. Scripture said in our verse this morning, there arose a great storm. Now, the word arose means that it came out of nowhere with no warning, with no advance notice. Everything was going good, smooth sailing, and then all of a sudden, man, right in your face, a storm comes into your life. Now, the storm in this scripture that we have dealt with this morning is more of a physical storm that arose. But how many times in your life have you been walking through life and everything seems like it's going good? You've got joy, you've got peace, you've got satisfaction in life, and then all of a sudden something shows up in your life and it's a storm and it tries to get you off course and off track in your life. And so it said there arose a great storm out of nowhere. Maybe you've heard the doctor's report that says, I'm sorry, but there's nothing that medical science can do for you. Maybe you're sitting across from a husband or your spouse, and out of the clear blue sky, they want a divorce. Maybe you've been working on a job that you've been on for many, many years and you thought you had job security and you had seniority and you had a nice retirement building up. But they come in and tell you that the economy is going bad and the company is downsizing and we've got to let you go. And worst of all, you're going to lose all your benefits. Real things and real problems and real trials that we go through in life. I know I'm talking to somebody this morning. You've saved and doing everything that you could do, and your life looked like it was good, and then all of a sudden, your sails were set out from under you. You see, storms come, and sometimes they come with no warning, and there are storms in every life. There are real storms that come against us. If you lived in Tornado Alley, like, you know, we have tornadoes in our area, but if you go into states like Oklahoma, there's a big difference in the storms that they have in that state versus the storms that we have around here. And they have those supercell heavy storms that come, everyday type of storms. Not just little rains and little showers, but I'm talking about some big storms. And there are some big storms that come into our life. And the Bible said that it was a great storm, a bad storm, a supercell storm. I believe that I'm talking to somebody right now who is in a storm, and it's not an everyday storm. It's not just a little wind. It's not just a little hail, but it's a supercell storm, and you don't know where to go today. Can I submit to you this morning that there is a man named Jesus that knows what you are walking through this morning, and he is there to bring you through your situation. Your situation is not hopeless this morning. As long as there is a God in heaven, there is hope. The Bible says that their boat was now filled with water. You know what? The devil wants to drown you. That's his purpose, to kill, to steal, and to destroy everything that God does good in your life. The devil wants to drown you. He wants to drown you in debt. He wants to drown you with sickness. He wants to drown you in fear. He wants to drown you in despair. He wants to drown you in depression. He wants to drown you in confusion. But I have a word from the Lord this morning for you, and that is that you are unsinkable when you are walking with Jesus. There is no weapon that is formed against you that can prosper in the name of Jesus. Greater is he that liveth on the inside of me than the enemy that is in this world. No weapon formed against me can prosper. You see, your word, your destiny makes you unsinkable. The destiny in you is greater than the storm that you are in life. What do you do when you're in the middle of a storm? You go back to the Word, because your Word is what is going to get you through the storm. You see, the devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The devil wants to destroy you, but God wants to give you peace and joy and love through the storm. And so the disciples said to Peter, when he was about to get out there and walk on water, the disciples said, "Peter, get back on the boat. You can't walk on water. Have you lost your mind?" But Peter said, "I've got a word from Jesus. And Jesus said for me to come. And if I've got a word from Jesus, I am unsinkable." But we all know what happened. Peter began to look at the storm and looked at what was going on around him, and he began to sink because he cast his eyes away from Jesus. The same thing happens in our walk with Christ this morning, is we are walking through life, and as long as we are looking on Jesus, we are unsinkable. But if we cast our eyes off of Jesus, we will begin to sink in the storm in which we are going through in life. And so, all you need is a word. You don't need a whole book. You don't need a whole chapter. You don't even need a whole sentence. You just need one word from God. A word will do what money cannot do. A word will do what education cannot do. A word will do what friends do not have the ability to do. A word will open doors that were closed in your face. A word will cause things to turn into your favor. In Numbers 23 and verse 19 it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, he will do it. If he has spoken it, it shall become good." You say, "I got a word from God," but God never said there wouldn't be any obstacles. He never said there wouldn't be any problems. He never said there wouldn't be things that would arise up against me. He never said there wouldn't be attacks on my life. He never said there wouldn't be an attack on my body physically. He never said there I might not go through a financial battle. He never said that your children were just going to rise up and be angels, that they would never rebel and do things that you never thought that they would do. He never said that people wouldn't lie on you and stab you in the back and steal from you. He never said that you'd never have a broken heart. He never said that there would be times that maybe at night that you would go to bed and cry yourself to sleep. But what he said was, "Let us go. We're going to walk together. We're going to go together in this, because you are not alone." And he said, "Let's go to the other side." In other words, I've got to get over it. I've got to get to the other side. You see, if you're going to get over to the other side, there are some things you're going to have to let go of. Maybe somebody lied on you and you don't feel like you can get over it. Somehow, you've got to get over it. Maybe somebody cheated on you. You've got to get over it. Maybe somebody abused you, whether it be mentally, emotionally, physically, and you hate that person, and you're holding unforgiveness in your heart towards that person. I know it's difficult and I know it's hard, but at some point in your life, you've got to deal with it, and you've got to somehow get over it. Because your destiny depends on it. In order to get to the other side, you've got to get over it. Don't let what somebody did to you stop your destiny. It's not worth it. They're not worth it. No man or woman is worth your destiny. No amount of money is worth your destiny. Somebody needs to say to myself this morning, I need to get over it because I've got to get to the other side. Now, the Bible says that the boat began to fill up with water. You see, nothing from the outside can hurt you. In other words, nothing from the outside can stop your destiny. It's what you let inside of you that has the potential to destroy your destiny. The boat was now filled with water. I'm talking to somebody this morning who needs to let bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, you need to get that out of your boat. You need to let anger and jealousy and a critical spirit out of your life. And the only way to get to the other side is to let go of it before it kills you, before it drags you down, before it destroys your life, before it destroys your marriage, before it destroys your ministry, before it destroys everything that is good in your life. You have to let those things go. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but God said, you better get it out. Verse 38 says, and he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now, how could Jesus be sleeping and be resting and be at peace and be calm in the storm? The same circumstances that were causing the disciples to become hysterical, the answer is he believed in the word that he had spoken. He believed in the words that he professed out of his mouth. He had declared that we are going to the other side. And he believed that the word that he spoke was more powerful than anything that he had to go through. He was sleeping on the word. He was resting on the word. His life was built on the word. But you also need to know how to fight with the word. In 1 Timothy 1 and 18, it says, according to the prophecies previously made concerning us, by them you may wage the good warfare. You see, one of the most powerful weapons that you have this morning is the prophetic word. That word doesn't do you any good if it's just buried away in a dresser drawer. It doesn't do you any good in a binder with 150 other prophecies. You have to put that word into your life and declare. In Job 22, it said, ye shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. I need to tell somebody today that you need to quit sitting around waiting for somebody to give you a word and rise up and begin to speak the word into your own life. Begin to declare the goodness of God over your own life. Begin to declare that God's goodness is living on the inside of me, and I won't allow the enemy to have my joy. I won't allow the enemy to have my peace. I've got to make it, not just for myself, but because of others that are following along behind me, for my children, for my brothers, for my sisters. And the Bible says that there were other little boats that were out there with them. The acknowledgement here is that somebody is following you. Somebody is watching you. And you've got to make it for somebody else. For somebody who is still in the enemy territory under satanic captivity. For somebody that's been praying and your answer is on the way. Somebody waiting for you to show up and deliver them. You are setting the example for someone else to follow. There are other people watching your life this morning, and you are an example
of Christ that lives on the inside of you to a lost and dying world. There are people that are watching you. Somebody needs you. When Jesus got to the other side, immediately he was met by a man that was possessed by devils. Had he have not gone to the other side, this man would not have been healed. But because Jesus said, we're going to the other side, we're going to make it through this storm, we're going to combat against this storm, we're going to make it to the other side. And when they made it to the other side, this man that needed Jesus met him immediately, and Jesus was able to perform a healing and a miracle and to set this man free. Somebody needs to say to yourself this morning, Jesus, I need you to set me free. I've been held in bondage long enough. I've been held in captivity long enough. But joy unspeakable and full of glory is coming into my life. As we have our musicians and singers return this morning, I don't know what you're going through this morning, but somebody says, I'm going through hell in my life. Can I say to you today, you're going to make it. You're in the middle of the worst storm that you've ever faced in your life. Can I say to you this morning, you are going to make it. You're not going to drown. You're not going to burn up, but you're going to make it to the other side with our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you see and everything you feel and everything you hear is threatening to take you down, but you're going to make it. Can we stand in this building this morning? And when you get to the other side, your testimony is going to be a lifeline to somebody who thinks it's impossible, who feels that their dream and their vision and their hope is never going to come to pass. You've got to make it because somebody is waiting for you. I tell you what, why don't we just, where we're standing this morning, just take somebody by the hand. And as we worship here in just a few minutes, this altar is open as well. But I want us to just pray together for just a moment. Pray with the person that you are with. Dear Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, God, I pray over these people that are here this morning. God, your children. God, I speak life. Just begin to speak life into one another. Begin to speak the word of God into each other. God, we speak life into one another this morning. God, we speak joy into each other's life. God, we speak your love into each other's life. God, we speak that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God, we speak today life where it looks like it's death, where it looks like it's a death sentence, God. We speak life in the name of Jesus. And God, we know that as long as we are walking with you and our life is in your hands, God, there is no storm, there is no weapon, there is no artillery, there is nothing that can come against us in the name of Jesus, God. We raise up a standard against it today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.